turn in our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 32 tonight. Deuteronomy 32, if you're going to use the church Bible, you can find our passage on page 239. Continuing our series tonight on the identity of God. I believe this is the 20th sermon in this series, or 21st, so we've been going at it for a little while. But last week we looked at the wisdom of God, and we saw that God always uses his knowledge, being wise, he always uses his knowledge to accomplish the highest ends, and he does so through the greatest means. He always does that in everything that he does. And so we said that we need to acquire God's wisdom and we need to acquiesce to God's wisdom. And tonight we're going to look at the truthfulness of God. So I'm going to read here for us. We'll start actually at verse 30 of Deuteronomy 31, and then we'll read to verse 4 of chapter 32. Let's hear the word of God. Then Moses spoke in the hearing of all the assembly of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as raindrops on the tender herb and as showers on the grass. For I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. This is the word of God. We'll stop our reading there at the end of verse 4. 2 years ago, I took one of my sons to the IU-Purdue game. And it was a special time for us to be together. It was something that we had been looking forward to for a while. And so I went out of my way, tried to get some of the best seats that I could. And so we found some seats where we were pretty close to the 50-yard line, about halfway up. And so we had a great view of the entire game, and we enjoyed the time very much. But the problem with our seats, though, is that we were absolutely surrounded by Purdue fans, which, of course, that's going to happen when you're at Rossade Stadium watching a game. But everywhere you looked around us, you saw black and you saw gold, and then there was the two of us in our cream and crimson. And we had a lot of fun with the people around us, and they had a lot of fun with us. But we stood out like a sore thumb. Right? There was no hiding in that sea of black and gold. Everyone could tell who we were and that we were very different from the rest of the crowd. Well, as we see tonight, the same should be true of us as God's people. Now, it should be true of us in a variety of ways, yes. But one of the ways it should be true of us is that as we live in a world full of liars, and I get you might make the connection there that I'm saying Purdue fans are liars. That's not the connection I'm making. But as you live in a world where you're surrounded by liars, we as God's people are to obviously stick out. Obviously stick out. In fact, we're to be so, so different that we are also like a sore thumb. Because while everyone else in this world might be believing lies, telling lies, promoting lies, we are to be those who speak the truth and only the truth, and who believe the truth and who live by the truth. And one of the reasons that's the case is because, as we'll see tonight, the Lord is a God of truth. The Lord is a God of truth. And so as a result of being made by the God of truth, as a result of being saved by the God of truth, how are we to live? We too are to be a people of truth. Now, that's the main point of application that we're going to see from this attribute. Since God is truthful, then you are to be a person of truth as you live in a world full of lies. You are to be a person of truth as you live in a world full of lies. Well, as you can see on the outline, if you're using it tonight, we'll follow our typical three-point structure for this series. And so let's first consider in general God's truthfulness, this attribute in general. So we just read from Deuteronomy 32:4, the Lord is a God of truth. And that means for us two things in particular. First, it means that God is truthful, in that he always tells the truth. Reference to this verse this morning, that Jesus says to the Father in John 17:17, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Being the God of truth, God cannot lie. In fact, it's impossible for God to lie, because every word from the truthful God is always the absolute truth. But to say that the Lord is a God of truth also means that he is the source of truth. So he always tells the truth, but he's also the source of truth. Or as it's been said before, all truth is God's truth. Stephen Lawson puts it this way. He says, "Truth is whatever God says is reality." Think about that again. Truth is whatever God says is reality. Truth is whatever conforms to the mind and character of God. And that's because God is the originator of all truth. So wherever you learn it, if it's true, then it's from the Lord. And as Lawson rightly says, it will not only conform to God's mind, as it's revealed to us here in the Scriptures, it will also conform to God's character. And that tells us a lot about truth. And for one, this means that God's truth, and thus all truth, is unchangeably unequivocal. It is unchangeably unequivocal. In other words, it's absolute. It's objective. It doesn't change over time. It doesn't depend on the cultural beliefs of the age, but rather, it's a firm standard that is always the same. So right never becomes wrong. Wrong never becomes right. There's no relativity to it. It's not different for different people. It doesn't progress over time. Now, our development and our understanding of it may progress over time, and so it may seem to change in that way. But as God is unchangeably unequivocal, so truth in his truth is always unchangeably unequivocal. Ligonier Ministries, in one of their articles that I came across this week, says, "Truth is not defined by our own subjective standards. It is determined by the source of truth himself." Or as C.H. Spurgeon puts it, "Opinions alter, but truth certified by God can no more change than the God who uttered them." Right? So truth is unchangeably unequivocal. What's more, this helps us to understand that all truth is consistent and goes together. It's consistent and goes together. So truth, then, does not contradict itself. It doesn't fight against itself. There's nothing mutually exclusive about the truth. On the contrary, truth is a unified body that always goes together and that always works together. In other words, there are not many truths. There is one truth. This is why, for instance, we interpret Scripture by other parts of Scripture, because we understand God speaking the truth never speaks out of both sides of his mouth. And so nothing will ever contradict anything else he has said. God, his truth is consistent. It also means that God's truth and all truth is by nature global. It is global. In other words, it's not limited to certain people or to certain places. But on the contrary, since God is all present, God's truth is all pertinent. It applies to us here in America. It applies to those in Africa, to those in Asia, to those in Australia. It applies to all races, all income levels, all cultures, all walks of life. Because as God is the Lord of all the earth, so his truth applies to all the people of the earth. Again, Stephen Lawson is helpful. He says, "Truth transcends all shifting social mores. It rises above the changing cultural norms. No matter where people are on the globe, they need to hear and heed the unalterable truth of God." And that's because also truth is illuminating and clarifying. It's illuminating and clarifying. This past week, I went to the eye doctor. I hadn't been there in a few years, but I wasn't having any eye problems. I just decided it was time to get some new frames. And so I went, and one of the things the doctor did, though, before I left is she showed me two pictures. And one was incredibly clear, and one was incredibly fuzzy. And she said, the fuzzy one is actually your current prescription, and the clear one is your new prescription. And I thought, oh, I mean, I've always known that I'm blind, but I didn't realize, even with the glasses I was having no problems with, that I was that blind. And it helped me realize that I need so much more clarity to see the world as it really is. And likewise, that's what God's truth does for us. It enables us to see the world rightly and clearly. To see God rightly, to see ourselves rightly, to see our circumstances rightly, to see the world rightly. Because without the truth, we can't see any of these things. Instead, we're left in the dark to figure things out on our own. And when we're left in the dark to figure things out on our own, we often and most likely end up with error and falsehood. Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Right, so the truth helps us see what we cannot see on our own due to the darkness of our sin. It opens our eyes to see things clearly and accurately. And friends, we need to see life as it really is because our beliefs and actions are to align with the truth. Or to put it differently, we need to see the truth so that we can obey the truth. Because this is also a characteristic of truth, and that is it is authoritative over us, coming from our God and our Creator. The truth does not just suggest what we should believe and do. No, the truth demands what we should believe and do. It's not the standard for us to accept if we like it or to revise if we'd rather, but rather it's the standard for us to keep exactly as it is written, whether we agree with it or not. Again, Stephen Lawson says, what God says in Scripture is never meant to be merely intriguing to the reader, nor is it meant to satisfy the vain curiosity of people. It is meant to be heeded. So, what have we seen? Being a God of truth, He is always truthful with us, and He is the source of all truth in the world. Thus, His truth and all truth is by nature unchangeable, unequivocal, consistent, global, illuminating, and authoritative. And as a result, it's also essential and reliable. That's what we need to understand about the truth of God in general. Well, having said that, let's go on secondly to consider God's truthfulness in the gospel. And I want you to look on the back of your outline now at John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verses 44 and 45. Here, this is Jesus speaking. And the Lord says, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But I tell the truth. So here Jesus makes a contrast between himself and the devil. And he says, the devil does what? The devil speaks only lies. Why? Because he is the father of lies. You'll remember it was the devil who first whispered into Eve's ear in the Garden of Eden, trying to get her to eat the forbidden fruit. But Jesus says, I am the exact opposite of the devil. I don't lie to anyone. Instead, I tell the truth. The fact is, Jesus says elsewhere, he is the truth. John 14, 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So like the Father is the God of truth, here now we're told the Son is also the God of truth. In fact, Paul says elsewhere that all truth is found in Christ. That he is the true God, he speaks only the truth, and his gospel is entirely true. This is one of the things that makes Jesus so wonderful, isn't it? So infinitely greater than the evil one. Jesus never deceives you. Jesus never leads you astray. Jesus is not a fake. But on the contrary, Jesus is the true Savior who truly delivers all who trust in him from the punishment we deserve. Being the God of truth, Jesus is true. He is true in his person. He is true in his work. He is true in his message. And as a result, he does three things in particular for us. First, being the truth, Jesus sets us free with the truth. Being the truth, Jesus sets us free with the truth. And of course, I'm speaking here of believers. So, John chapter 8, this time verses 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So here, first off, Jesus reminds us the truth is found in his word. It's found in the Bible. In addition, as we study and obey his word, he says, not only will we know the truth, but we will be set free by the truth. And as he goes on to say in John chapter 8, the truth sets us free from slavery to sin. Of course, the truth sets us free from slavery to the lying one as well, because it's the truth of the gospel, as the Old Testament said, that will proclaim liberty to the captives. And Matthew Henry puts it this way. He says, "Justification makes us free from the guilt of sin, by which we were bound over to the judgment of God. Sanctification makes us free from the bondage of corruption, by which we were restrained from that service which is perfect freedom." Saw a picture on the news this week. Some of you may have seen it as well. A line of people from Afghanistan walking through the airport in Washington, D.C. And they had masks on. You couldn't see their faces. But it was a long line of people walking through the airport. And as I saw that picture, I couldn't help to think to myself, they have got to be relieved. These people have to be happy. Now, they might be sad about what's going on, but these people have actually made it out of the country. Whereas there are still tens and tens of thousands of people in Afghanistan hoping to get out of the country, but may never get out of the country. But instead, we'll stay within the confines, being under the wicked regime of the Taliban and suffering all that comes with it. These people had made it out. They were free now to start a new life. In a similar way, but a far greater way, actually, that's what the truth of the gospel does for us as we believe it. It sets us free from the spiritual Afghanistan, if you want to think of it that way. It sets us free from the enemy, and it gives us a new life of blessing. Second, being the truth, Jesus teaches us the truth. He teaches us the truth. John 16, 13. "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." This is Jesus speaking of his ministry by the Holy Spirit. And as he says here, when he is in heaven and the Spirit is inside of us, he will guide us into all truth. That is, he will enable us to understand the truth. He will enable us to believe the truth and live by the truth. He will open our eyes. He will give us that clarity. He'll give us the glasses we need to see the truth. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:12, "We have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." Or to put it differently, so that we might know the truth. Right, so it's the Spirit who shows us our need for Christ. It's the Spirit who shows us the beauty of Christ. It's the Spirit who gives us faith in Christ. What's more, it's the Spirit who instructs us from the Word. It's the Spirit who convicts us of our sins, who grows us in righteousness and so forth. Because it's through the Spirit that Jesus teaches us the truth. John Gill says here that he is as a guide. He goes before, leads the way, removes obstructions, opens the understanding, makes things plain and clear, teaches to profit, and leads in the way men should go. That's what Jesus does for his people through the work of the Holy Spirit. And then third, being the truth, Jesus makes his disciples truth tellers. Jesus makes his disciples truth tellers. Look on your outline at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 24 and 25. Put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So here you have the old man and the new man set next to each other in these two verses. And what is the difference between the two? Paul says the old man is a liar. That's who you used to be before Jesus saved you. But the new man, the new creation he made you to be in the gospel is what? He's a person who speaks the truth. And who is it that brings about that transformation in our lives? Of course, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul says earlier in Ephesians 4, this is Christ's call to us. How are we to live in Christ? We are to put off the old man. We are to put on the new man. Because this is what Christ died to produce in us. He died to transform us. To transform us from the deceivers we used to be into truth tellers like him. If you go back to the verses we read earlier from John chapter 8, how did Jesus know that his audience had Satan as their father? It was because they lied just like Satan lied. Instead of bearing the image of the God of truth, they bore the image of the father of lies. In other words, how you live reflects who you worship. And if you worship the Lord, Scripture says, there will be truth in your life. Because Jesus gave his life to make you a truth teller. So how do we see God's truthfulness in the gospel? We see it in the freedom that Jesus gives us by the truth. We see it in the instruction Jesus gives us in the truth. And we see it in the transformation Jesus produces within us so that we more and more tell the truth. And that brings us then thirdly and finally to God's truthfulness in the Christian life. God's truthfulness in the Christian life. At this point, I think there are two questions we need to ask and answer. The first one is, if the Lord is a God of truth, then how should I live as his image bearer? Right? If the Lord is a God of truth, how should I live as his image bearer? Connected to that, secondly, if Jesus has saved me by the truth, then how should I live as one of his disciples? And that's what we need to answer under this heading. And so to do so, I'd like to give you four practical applications that all begin with the letter S. So how should you live as an image bearer and a disciple of Christ? First, you should study God's truth. You should study God's truth. And this applies both to his general revelation and to his special revelation. So if God has revealed the truth to you, both in creation and in Scripture, then you should seek to know it, and you should seek to know it accurately. I mean, instead of believing whatever the world tells you, you should search to know what God tells you. Rather than just buying into what the media tells you or your professors tell you, you should make sure you know what God says to you about these things in life. Wayne Grudem says, if we think the same thing God thinks about anything in the universe, we are thinking truthfully about it. Right? Think of that again. If we think the same thing God thinks about anything in the universe, we are thinking truthfully about it. This is why, as you seek to discover the truth, you should always ensure that what you learn in creation aligns with what you're told in the Bible. Well, that's a mistake countless Christians make, but it's one we cannot afford to make. Because if you find something you think is the truth, and yet it does not align with the Bible, you have not found the truth. You found a lie. And so as those who have been made by the God of truth, saved by the God of truth, we should always want to know the truth. There should be a hunger for the truth inside of us, to know the truth of God and ourselves and the world and sin and salvation and so forth. So make that your aim in life if it's not already. Set this as your daily pursuit, to study the truth so that you know the truth. Second, stand fast on God's truth. Stand fast on God's truth. 2 Thessalonians 2:15, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. So as in Paul's day, we live in a world where the truth is constantly being attacked, where the truth is ignored, it's rejected, it's opposed. Right, we see this on the news, this is on television, the movies, we read it in books, we hear it in our classrooms, we sometimes even hear it from our friends. Truth is constantly being attacked with lies. And that's why we understand we live in a world where abortion is thought to be a right, where adultery is thought to be something to laugh at, why fornication is thought to be normal, why gay marriage is something that's to be celebrated. Why are these things the case? It's because the world is suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. They're believing lies, whether they know it or not. And so as God's people, we have got to stand against it. We've got to stand against it. We need to make sure that we are not infiltrated. Regardless of what others think, we need to make sure we are sticking with the Bible, the truth that is contained in the Bible. Now, it's not always easy. It may come at a price, but it's worth it because it's the truth. It's the truth. Third, submit to God's truth. Submit to God's truth. As we said earlier, the truth of God is authoritative. Right? So you may not like the truth at times, but the truth is sovereign over you, and the truth rightly demands your beliefs and your actions. So to put it differently, the truth always calls for a response. It always calls for a response. And it holds us accountable for when we fail to give that response. James 1:22 puts it this way. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. This is always the expectation when we come to the scriptures. Yes, we need to hear it, but if that's all we do, James says, we are to be pitied. If all we do is hear the scriptures. Because unless you want to be deceived, you need to obey the truth as well. In other words, you don't really know the truth until you also do the truth, regardless of how much information you may possess about the truth. You don't really know the truth until you also do the truth, regardless of how much information you may possess about the truth. And so as you study the truth, as you stand fast on the truth, you need to make sure that you are, by God's grace, submitting to the truth. Let your beliefs be that of the truth. Let your actions reflect that of the truth. Work to ensure that everything about you, more and more by the grace of God, desires, thoughts, words, conduct, are all in accordance with the truth. And then fourth, speak God's truth. Speak God's truth. Again, we read in Ephesians 4:25, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. If all truth is God's truth, then that means we are speaking his truth whenever we tell the truth. And that's what I'm talking about here. So whether you're sharing the gospel or teaching your kids or interacting with the world, we are always to be truthful. Whether we're speaking of spiritual matters or whether we're speaking of scientific matters, we're always to be truthful. As Paul says, lying is to be no more for those who are in Christ. Instead, the truth should characterize every single word out of our mouths. Wayne Grudem says, in a society that is exceedingly careless with the truthfulness of spoken words, and I trust you can come up with a million of your own examples on that one, we as God's children are to imitate our Creator and take great care to be sure that our words are always truthful. Now, that should go without saying in this audience tonight, but how often is it that we fail to tell the truth? Right? It may not always be on purpose. It may not always be outright. It may not always be a bald-faced lie, but whether it's by exaggerating, whether it's by minimizing, we all tend to not be as truthful as we should be. And so we should examine our words. We should think before we speak. We should labor to ensure with what we say that what we say comports with what God says. So having been made in God's image, having been saved by Christ, how are you to live in this world of lies? You're to study God's truth. You're to stand fast on God's truth. You're to submit to God's truth, and you should speak God's truth. Or in essence, you should be a person of truth as you live in a world full of lies. Recently, my family watched a show called The Mysterious Benedict Society. Some of you may have heard of this. It's a book originally. Disney Plus just put it out. And it takes place, I think, in the mid-20th century when the world is experiencing a crisis known as the emergency. This is what it's called. And the emergency is about, through TV and through radio signals, messages are being transmitted into the minds of people in the world. And it's controlling them. And so Professor Benedict and his students go on this quest to discover the truth behind the emergency. Right? Who's producing the emergency? How can we stop the emergency and so forth? And I'll just say, if you're looking for a good show to watch with your kids, I highly recommend this show because it's all about, and it kind of surprises me that Disney would even produce it, but it's all about fighting for truth in a world that's utterly full of lies. And that's our society, folks. That's our society, and that's what we are called to do today. The world is suppressing the truth. But as those who have been made and saved by the God of truth, we are to be a people of truth. And so as you consider the truthfulness of God in His character and in His gospel, be a person of truth as you live in this world with lies all around you. May the Lord help us to do that. Let's pray. Lord, we know that we have believed the truth, or lies rather, in the past, and we have lived our lives in light of lies. Lord, even tonight we might be believing lies that's affecting what we're doing or how we're feeling or how we're going to spend our time this week, how we're responding to our circumstances. Lord, it's so easy for us to believe lies, and yet we pray that you would forgive us of that, especially forgive us for the times that we tell lies. And Lord, we pray that you'd make us more and more truth tellers and those who submit to the truth and study the truth and stand fast for the truth. Lord, make us those who are not simply believing whatever we hear on the news or whatever we're reading about or whatever social media is talking about. But Lord, help us to live by the book. And help us to make sure that we're viewing the world and our circumstances and our lives always through the lens of Scripture, not through the lens of our sinful hearts or the unbelieving mindset of the world. And we pray that you would show us the lies that we might be believing right now, and that you would guide us more into the truth. We pray that you would continue to shine your light upon our path so that we would increasingly be walking in the way of truth, which is also the way of freedom and blessing. And so, Lord, we pray as we praise you for being a God of truth, that tonight you would make us more and more a people of truth. So help us and strengthen us and transform us, we ask, in Christ's name. Amen.